Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
And will you all silently follow along as I recite the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For agenda review tonight, does any director have any wish to reorder our agenda this evening?
No.
Okay, and seeing no, we'll proceed as published. So that takes us to item four. This is public comments on items not appearing on tonight's agenda. Amy, do we have anyone in the queue or in the email who would like to make public comment on items not on tonight's agenda?
I do not see anyone with their hand raised. We have one call-in user and Cynthia Rapogel in as attendees.
Okay, we'll give them just a second to be able to raise their hand if they choose. And is there any emails in the queue?
There are no emails.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So seeing no one with their hand raised or nothing in the queue, we'll go ahead and close public comment and take us to the consent agenda. This is items five. This is 5A, approval of warrants, 5B, approval of meeting minutes of June 3rd, 2020, and 5C is request approval to purchase chemical pumping systems and updated cost on that. Let's start with are there any questions of staff? Director Lee?
I just had one question. Thank you, Chair Russell. So the PG&E bill looks like it creeped back up to a little over $15,000 this month. And I know there was a legitimate reason for it in past months. So I was just wondering if you could give a quick update as to if that's was normal usage for this time of year or if that's a little bit higher than expected.
Can you come out here if you see if that boom happens again?
Michael, you can go ahead and answer that.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I'm not exactly sure if that's the same as last year. If you'd like, at our next board meeting, I can bring something forward to the board and just kind of compare it to last year's usage. If that's okay with you guys, if you would like that.
That works for me.
Director Austin, any questions about any of the items five?
I have no questions.
And I'm just going to, for the record, just for fun, predict. I think it was July that we had an $18,000 bill last year. So I'm kind of remembering that. So it'll be fun to see if I have Swiss cheese or what back there. So we'll look forward to that next month. Thank you, Michael. Anyone like to propose a motion?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second that.
Any discussion?
Just a big thank you to Jeremy and to Michael for clarifying the chemical pumping costs and making sure that it's within the contract approval with the change in manufacturer or supplier.
Yes, Chair, did we invite the public to comment on the consent calendar?
We most certainly did not. Thank you for the reminder.
Sure.
So let's go ahead and see if any of our callers or in the email queue would like to comment on items 5A, B, or C. Let's go ahead and open public comment at this time.
No one has raised their hand and there's no emails.
Okay, thank you so much. Forgive me, and I will close public comment and recognize that there's a motion and a second on the floor. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
This takes us to items six. Item 6A is approval of legal services contract with the law firm of Jones and Meyer. And Keith, I believe you have something to tell us.
I do. I'll be recusing myself from this item. I'll be logging out of the meeting because this item involves my employer, which is a source of income for me.
Thank you very much. And letting the public know that Mr. Gent will text Mr. Collins when it's time for him to come back into the meeting after we have finished with item 6A. So with that, Mr. Gent, would you mind giving us the staff report?
Yes. Good evening, Jeremy, District Administrator. Before you is an item adoption of resolution. Revised contract with a law firm of Jones and Myers.
Jeremy, stop you for just a second. You've got a really bad connection right now. Is there any way for you to hardwire in?
Yeah, let me see if I can move somewhere and improves anything.
Would you like me to read the staff report?
Why don't we do that as he tries to find a better connection?
Okay. The recommendation is that the board of directors enter into the revised contract with the law firm of Jones and Meyer to provide general counsel legal services to the district. General counsel Gil Trujillo resigned his position with the district effective February 7th, 2020. Gilbert A. Trujillo was retained by the board on November 4th, 2015 to provide general counsel services for the district. With Mr. Trujillo's departure, the board directed staff to pursue new general counsel through an RFP. At the June 3rd, 2020 meeting, the district board was presented a staff report for approval of legal services contract with the law firm of Jones and Meyer. Following the presentation and discussion, the board directed staff to attempt to negotiate better contract terms for charges related to the proposed billing for legal counsel travel time. Discussion. Following the June 3rd meeting, staff reached out to Jones and Meyer and expressed the district's desire to achieve revised contract terms in regard to travel time billing described in contract section 3A. Jones and Meyer was receptive to revising the contract terms, and staff has reached the terms in the attached agreement with the only revision shown in bold underlining. The contract presented at the June 3rd meeting provided for full billing during travel to and from the district and read as follows. 3A, General Legal Services. The district shall pay Jones and Meyer an hourly rate of $215 for general legal services, those services described above in section 2A, numbers 1 through 8. All costs and expenses, including travel time and mileage, except those set forth in section 3F below, shall be deemed included in the foregoing hourly billing rates. The revised contract provides for billing at 50% for hours and mileage to and from the district and reads as follows. 3A, General Legal Services. The district shall pay Jones and Meyer an hourly rate of $215 for general legal services, those services described above in section 2A, numbers 1 through 8. All costs and expenses, including one half of all travel time and mileage to and from board meetings, except those set forth in section 3F below, shall be deemed included in the foregoing hourly billing rates. Fiscal considerations. The district has adequate budget for anticipated legal costs in both the current fiscal year 1920 and as proposed in the fiscal year 2021 budget. And the agreement for legal services with Jones and Meyer is attached.
Thank you so much for stepping in, Amy. Jeremy, do you have a better connection over there?
I'm a lot closer to my router now. Is that better? Does that work? Okay.
Amy read the staff report for us. So is there anything you'd like to add in that's not in the staff report before we go to questions?
No, I think the staff report covers it. And so I'm open to take questions.
Director Lee, any questions?
No questions at this time. Thank you for working forward on the contract revision.
Director Austin, any questions?
I'm sorry, I was muted. No,
Ms. Austin, if you hold your space bar down on your computer's lap keyboard.
I think I did it. I'm sorry.
That's quite right.
I wasn't holding it. Yes. No, I don't have any questions right now at this time.
Thank you very much. So at this time, I'll go ahead and open up public comment and see if our people on the line would like to raise their hand or if we have emails in the queue.
Hi, CEO.
If I can interrupt for just a quick second, Jeremy, if you need, if you have internet problems and your phone is working, you can use your phone to actually communicate the audio. If you go down to your microphone, go to the up arrow next to your microphone, it will say connect to audio or connect to phone. And because we are still having some connection problems with your audio.
Okay. So can we test that minute right now? Is it working or we're still having issues?
It's still choppy.
It still has some problems. So if you take your cursor down to, are you on a regular laptop?
Yeah.
Take your cursor down to the bottom corner of your microphone. You'll see a little arrow up. It'll say connect switch to phone audio. And it'll give you some dial-in information.
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for that, AGP. So while he's connecting in, we can go ahead and take public comment because he'll still be able to hear us through his computer. So is there anyone in the queue who would like to raise their hand and speak at this time?
There still is no one in the queue. Or there is no one with their hand raised.
And no emails in the queue?
No emails in the queue.
All right. Thank you very much. So that's bring this back around to the directors and Vice Chair Lee.
If everyone is ready, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve that the Board of Directors enter into the revised contract with the law firm of Jones and Meyer to provide general counsel legal services for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District.
I'll second that.
And under discussion, I'll just say that they've done a great job, both as special counsel and interim counsel, and I'm glad to make this permanent. So, Amy, can we go ahead and get a roll call, please?
Director A. Russum?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
That takes us to item 6B. This is adoption of resolution 2020-416 for collecting fiscal year 2020-2021 district annual wastewater treatment charges from the community of Oceano through the county property. Mr. Gent, are you up and running yet?
And I was going to say, and Madam Chair, if we could also remind Mr. Gent to have Mr. Collins come back in the meeting.
Can you hear me on my phone?
Yes.
Okay. So we're good there, and I will send a message to Mr. Collins to rejoin us. That is done. And so moving on to the next item in the staff report while I get there in my package. So before you is adoption of resolution number 2020-416. For collecting fiscal year 2020-21 district annual wastewater treatment charges from the community of Oceano through the county property tax roll. It's recommended that your board approve resolution number 2020-416, authorizing the transmittal of the report to the county to collect district wastewater treatment charges from the OCSD service area for fiscal year 2021 on the county property tax roll. Initially, in June of 2016, your board adopted resolution 2016-347, directing staff to work with the county to collect both current and delinquent wastewater treatment charges from the community of Oceano and place those on the tax bills. In preparation for this item, MBS, our direct billing consultant, prepared the required report, which is attached to attachment one. This identifies each parcel of real property by address and APN And associated charges for wastewater treatment and the facilities for said parcel for the upcoming fiscal year. The charges conform to the rate structure established with our previous ordinance number 2016-01, adopted by the board on March 2nd, 2016. A copy of this report is available at the district and at the district website for inspection. And with that, I will turn it over and answer any questions of the board or the public.
Thank you. I have no questions. Director Austin?
I have no questions. This is something we do this every year, renew it, correct? Does it have to be?
Yes.
It's a renewal of every year?
Yes. Annually, we adopt this report, and then it's, NBS takes that on our behalf to the county where it's placed on the property tax rolls by the auditor and tax collector.
Correct. All right. Thank you. I don't have anything right at this moment. Unless something comes up later.
Vice Chair Lee?
I just had one comment and one question. And the comment is, while I appreciate MBS making me a chair in May 2020, the report, if you could have them revise that to reflect the Mayor Ray Russom is the chair. And then my question is, I know somewhere a couple months ago, we had a series of refunds due to a collection of property taxes associated with properties that were not being served but were in the report. And I'm hoping that this report did capture those this year so we don't have that same mid-year correction.
Yes, you're correct. Earlier this year in November and December, we issued some refunds to some community members in the area, the Halcyon area of Oceano, where we had been collecting charges where they weren't connected to the sewer. And so, no, those are not included in this this file, and those APNs have been removed from the MBS report.
Very good. Thank you so much. Those are all my questions.
And as I said, I have no questions. So let's go ahead and open this up to public comment. And Amy, do we have anyone with hands raised or any emails in the queue?
There are no hands raised and no emails.
Thank you very much. So we'll bring this back around for us for consideration and possible approval.
Do you want us to comment?
Well, Jeff kind of did. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, I just wanted to say that it, you know, I know this is one of the things that came up 4 years ago and it was met with a little resistance and confusion. But now I think after 4 years that everyone has adjusted very well and it's really turned out to be best for everyone. Improves the sanitation district collections by having this on the tax roll. And it it's good for the Oceano Community Services District because, you know, the charge does go on the water bills, and if there's any change in billing in the sanitation district, then that would show up on the water bills, and then people call OCSD, not understanding, you know, that it's sanitation bills. So I think all around it's been a great benefit, and I'm glad to see it continuing. So that's all.
And as Oceano's representative, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. With that, I will go ahead and move that we adopt resolution 2020-416 and authorizing the transmittal of the report to the county to collect district wastewater treatment charges from the OCSD service area for fiscal year 2020-2021 on the county property tax roll.
A second.
Any discussion? Okay, Amy, can we get a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Thank you. That takes us back to item 6C. This is the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
Good evening, Jeremy. Jen, I'll just pause and make sure everybody's hearing me okay. Can I get a, okay, we're good?
We got
So. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. This is the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. Couple updates, some great and exciting news on the redundancy project. The USDA application has been accepted by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and they have officially obligated $4.464 million for a 40-year term at an interest rate of 1.375%. I don't know what that dollar sign means there. That's that's a typo. There is, in the letter of conditions we received in the past, we had talked about the potential for maybe some grant funding or loan forgiveness. There was none identified or selected. So those are the terms, that money at that interest rate. A couple key dates on the project coming forward. These are the same as was reported last month, where we begin advertising in mid-August, looking at opening bids in mid-October, having our bond sale in mid-November, a notice to proceed for the contractor in late November around Thanksgiving time, and then project completion 30 months later in March of 2023. Moving forward, a couple items on Central Coast Blue. There's draft MOA framework making its rounds. I think most of the other agencies have seen that at this point. So there'll be something forthcoming to our district to talk about what potential district role might, the role that the district might have in the project. Last week I reviewed MOA language, the draft framework language that's in there with WSC, provide some feedback with them. Also, we have the project team will be coming back, working with scheduling a date. Don't know if that'll be the August date or not. Haven't confirmed that yet. And we also reviewed and commented on the draft EIR for the Central Coast Blues project. Couple miscellaneous items. We received a cease and desist order demand letter from Ms. Packer, and that's attached at the end of the report here. And I did want to take a minute to address that and thank Ms. Packer for bringing that to our attention and working with us to make sure that we have really good access for the community members. If we go back to the April meeting when we first did our very first electronic meeting, we had some issues with publication of the code, the access code, and so we had a hiccup there. And so at last month's meeting, we eliminated the code and the phone numbers, relying entirely on the electronic form of communication, the electronic link. Where if you clicked on that link, you would be provided telephone access if you actually use that. And that was consistent with the revised the governor's order on modified Brown Act rules. And so Mr. Collins provided a response, which is also attached, that explains while we were compliant with the revised Brown Act rules, we could certainly do better. And so I worked with AGP and came up tonight. We were able to publish the access code and the phone numbers on the agenda. As of right now, we believe this to be adequate and working. And so I did want to report out on that and let everybody know that we intend on making a best effort at addressing that to make sure that everybody has access that wants to have access. All of my miscellaneous items. A couple upcoming items. We do have the revisions to the Kennedy Jenks contract. We are putting those together right now because we do have the letter of conditions from USDA, so we know a little bit about what we need to put into that contract. In the future, as I said earlier, we'll be bringing back the Central Coast Blue item. We'll also be bringing back a board authorization to bid redundancy at the August meeting, so authorizing us to go out and advertise. And then in October, we would anticipate bringing forward a resolution authorizing the district to sell bonds for the redundancy project. So those are some upcoming items. And I did want to note it also on next month, we'll have annual evaluation for legal counsel and the district administrator. Those will be coming forward on next month's agenda as well. And with that, I will turn it over to, what's your board's liking? Would you like questions now or hear Mr. Jones' report first?
Why don't we see if we have questions from you for right now, or for you for right now?
I don't have any questions. I just thank you very much for that report.
Yeah, just a quick thank you from myself as well. And the only question I would have is remind me what the initial interest rate for the USDA loan was going to be, because I think 1.375 sounds very attractive.
So it's initially we were tracking it, anticipating 2.5%, and then we found out that it would likely be 1.625 through the process. And so then in these later stages, we were told that it may even be lower than the 1.625. And so we were, you know, happy to see that it in fact was down another eighth from that projection.
Great, thank you.
I heard you say down another eighth, but that's more than an eighth, isn't it?
That's a quarter. It's down a quarter.
And is that a lock? Is that, we're locked in?
We're locked in. Yeah, well, we're locked. It can't go up. It can actually go down. If before we close, it goes down again, we can re-lock lower, but it can't go up. So we're protected both ways.
I'm seriously going to go run and get my pom-poms.
Absolutely.
We'll do public comment after both. So for right now, let's go ahead and go to Michael.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. If I'd like to take a moment, if I could share my screen, if that's okay with you guys, just to go over the report. Let's see. Okay. Oops. Can you guys see that okay? I don't know if I can zoom in.
Yes, we can see it.
Okay. Oh, whoops, excuse me. Okay. So this is the plant operations report for reporting period June 1st through June 24th. During this reporting period, the district's facility did exceed its MPDS permit limit for daily maximum fecal coliform. We had a recording of 9,600. On June 9th, it's highlighted in yellow. Immediately following the observation, operation staff raised the chlorine dosage. And in addition, operation staff began adding polymer to the primary clarifier to enhance our settling and lessen the BOD and TSS loading to the fixed film reactor. Fecal coliform results have returned to well within permit limitations following the violation, and the Regional Water Board, Water Quality Control Board has been notified, and the district may be assessed a fine. All other process values were within permit limitations. Just another note on the chart, the data chart, is there's an asterisk for our chlorine usage, and that's just from filling. We have totes, we have backup totes. We have a backup tote for chlorine, and then we also have a chlorine tote for our bug box. And basically what that does is we introduce chlorine to help kill the larva before we pump it back to the headworks, and that gets taken out in our Grit King. So that's why that usage was significantly higher than normal. Another note is our fecal, our average fecal for the month. Of course, we had the high fecal, so that kind of threw off our average. But again, as I said, you know, immediately following the violation, all of our fecal numbers have been well within permit limitations. Moving forward, our outfall repair. So the district performed a midnight shutdown June 4th through 5th and repaired the leaking outfall pipe. District contractor R. Baker Construction performed the repair and backfilled the site. So if you can, just take a look at this first initial picture. So this is after the June 4th and June 5th shutdown. We put a piece of C900. It's basically just a thick PVC pipe. And those two black couplings, those are Romac couplings, those were installed as well. And that prevented the leak. And then just, I have some pictures here of the backfill. They wrapped up the pipe in plastic before backfilling and then put in single sack concrete. And then this final picture here is just with it all graded and covered back up. There's still a dewatering well located at the site. And that's just in case if anything were to happen in the future, we have the ability to dewater prior to digging. It kind of it just makes it a lot easier when you're excavating. And then for our primary clarifier number two rehabilitation and coatings project. The rehab project continues to progress. FRM, or Fluid Resource Management, has begun preparing the new clarifier mechanisms for coating. That the top picture, it's just a big tarp over the clarifier, and that just helps with holding the dust in and prevents like any, you know, any possible air pollution complaint or anything like that. And then the second picture is kind of inside. It's a little dusty, so it's kind of hard to see, but they're in there blasting and they're just preparing the surfaces for coating. Let's see. Okay, some operations and maintenance tasks. We replaced a chain on our front gate. We fabricated new chemical probe brackets. We cleared out rental centrifuge, rental storage container, and prepped for removal. We replaced solenoid switches on the Amiod filters, checked and marked underground service alerts. We replaced Zerk fittings on our mechanical bar screen, installed bird spikes around our secondary clarifier building. We've been having an issue with seagulls around at the plant, and they just make the plant look like a mess. You know, they just, you know, bird droppings everywhere. So we're trying to prevent that as much as possible. Having a clean plant is, you know, obviously something we want to continue having. Moving on, we removed our Morno sludge pump from the secondary clarifier building. We disassembled and inspected our Morno sludge pump. We thoroughly cleaned centrifuge building. Performed a midnight shutdown to repair the outfall pipe. We cleaned out our sludge beds, replaced our boiler air filter. We changed out cap and gel on our backup chemical probes. Arbaker Construction performed the backfill of our outfall pipe repair. We fabricated stands for valve turners, removed water solenoids on polymer system, advanced flow measurements, performed our annual calibration of flow meters, and installed a new influent flow meter in our headworks. Viva Water was in to assist operation staff with the inspection and rehabilitation of our fixed film reactor distributor drive. And so that work right there, that was, we had an existing distributor drive. Basically, if our FFR were to fail, we have an existing distributor drive that we've had for quite a while. And we finally had Ovivo come out, inspect it, and then we performed rehab and repairs on that. So in the event of our FFR were to go down, we have that on the shelf ready to go to perform the repair. We removed and repaired, removed, repaired, and reinstalled our primary sludge pump. We replaced the drive belts on our polymer pump, began prepping for new eyewash stations, our eyewash station installed by the Grit King. We replaced a broken screen on our Amiod filters. Some work orders that operations staff completed. Performed preventative maintenance on Amiod filters, our water champs. We inspected our digester vacuum pressure relief valves. We cleaned our fixed film reactor pump variable frequency drives. Rinsed down all surfaces of all of our clarifiers. We deragged our primary sludge pump. Changed oil in our digester mixing pump. And then performed monthly inspection of clarifier drive units. Then performed preventative maintenance on our front loader, our forklift, and all of the plant carts. We replaced filter on heating and air conditioning unit. We inspected and checked amperage on all sump pumps, and then we performed our monthly safety walk. Some training that staff participated in was in regards to coronavirus, and it's just managing stress and anxiety, and then cleaning and disinfecting your workplace. And for call-outs, there were no call-outs this reporting period. And with that, I am able to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you very much. I have a quick question, Michael. On the possible fine, what are the conditions under which they will assess that fine, and what's the range?
So there's two categories. Basically, if you have a Category 1 pollutant or a Category 2 pollutant, if it's a Category 2 pollutant, you have to have three within a span of 180 days. And if you have three, the fourth one, you'll be assessed a $3,000 fine. And this is, I believe, a Category 1 fine. So we will be assessed a penalty just for having one because of the percentage. It's over our limit. Our limit's 2,000 for the fecal coliform, and we had a result of 9,600. And I believe it has to be, if it's over 20%, you'll be assessed a fine. And this is obviously well over that percentage. So more than likely, we will be assessed a $3,000 fine for this violation.
And this is a dumb question and I really should know the answer, so forgive me, but do we have any budget for that? I mean, is that something that we've got in there? I can't recall if there's a specific line item for that.
It's I believe we use permit fees and licensing, if I'm correct. I think we do have a budget for that.
Thank you very much. And Director Lee, do you have any questions?
I think my only question would kind of be around that same increased discharge. Is I'm assuming we've uncovered the source of that and have corrected it, or was it was there a plant situation that caused it to go that much over?
We haven't necessarily pinpointed what caused it, but we are operating on just one clarifier right now due to the rehab project. So operating on one clarifier, you have less detention time, so you tend to send more solids through the plant, and we're guessing that's probably what the cause was. So adding the addition of polymer to the clarifier, that helps with the settling, because we have that shortened detention time. Basically, it allows flock to basically collect and settle faster, and you're able to remove it faster. And since then, we've seen a lot better numbers regarding our BOD, TSS, and then our fecal coliform, which we also upped our chlorine dosage. So we're using a little bit more chlorine, but we're ensuring that we are getting that disinfection.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation.
Director Austin, any questions of Michael?
Well, I think you answered my questions earlier. I appreciate the pictures of the job. And have you noticed a more increase in the rags the last few months?
Nothing more substantial. I understand with the coronavirus and everything, it was kind of hard to get toilet paper, so a lot of people were turning to wipes. But we haven't seen much of a difference, to be honest. Our mechanical bar screens are great at taking that stuff out. And then we also have the washer compactor immediately following that. And we haven't really seen a substantial change in the amount of rags.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for the report, Michael.
So
questions and comments.
Thank you. At this time, I'll go ahead and open up public comment. Amy, does anyone have their hand raised in the queue?
There is one caller in the queue.
Good evening. This is Julie Packer, and I wanted to speak to a couple items that Jeremy talked about. My question with regard to the USDA loan is, does that number, the 4,400,000, I don't have it in front of me, does that number change depending on the final bid price of the project, whether it's higher or lower? Is it a percentage of the project price? So I wasn't sure on that. And then I just wanted to underscore with my letter to cease and desist, the practice that, a couple of hiccups in both of the Zoom meetings. The second meeting, yes, you could get to the phone numbers, but only if you provided your email address. And that's where I had some real heartburn. And I think my letter explains that. And I really appreciate the extra effort to make phone numbers available tonight in participating, only because I've participated in Zoom meetings before did I know that I needed to push *9 to raise my hand, so to speak, to participate. So I don't know if that should also be on the agenda, or when you go to public comment that you make that statement so that people know how to participate. I only knew because I've done it before. But those are my thoughts. And again, I appreciate the extra effort to make the meeting telephonically available to the majority of the public. Have a good evening.
Thank you. And
Hey, Karen, you're muted.
Is there a second hand raised, Amy, or is that the same one as before?
It's the same hand as before.
And is there anyone in the email queue that has submitted anything?
There is no one in the email queue.
Okay, thank you. That is a receive and file, so I'll go ahead and close public comment at this time. And we don't have anything listed there, but anybody have any closing comments before we go to adjournment?
I do have just one comment. So, and that you'll notice on the agenda this evening, the alternate for Grover Beach is vacant. And that is because the alternate who was Barbara Nichols has announced her departure from the Grover Beach City Council effective today, actually. So I've been in conversations with the Grover Beach City Manager and will be agendizing, hopefully in the near future, a meeting to declare an alternate for Grover Beach. I don't plan to go anywhere, obviously, through to the end of the year here. So I'll be attending meetings, but in events that we do have an alternate or need for an alternate, it's good to have one. So I just wanted to let people know that we're aware of that and we're working on it.
Thank you.
And real quickly, Jeremy, I forgot I had written down the question from the caller that where she wanted to know if the bid price was going to possibly change that number. Can you address that real quick? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, no problem. So, yes, the question about the $4.464 million, that is a fixed number. Now, if we came in low, they might come back and say you're not getting all that if we came in lower. But on the higher side, that number covers all of the soft costs involved in the project, which have largely been captured by projects. And that's why it's a harder number. And that was an option that was given to us versus, doing a percentage on the construction costs. And so working with the financing team and USDA, it became obvious that that covering the soft costs would allow for us to not go back and redo some of the design work on the contract side. It's a little bit complicated on why we made that decision, but to answer the question is no, that won't change. That's a fixed number.
Thank you for that. Director Austin, any closing comments tonight?
No, just everybody have a good evening and a happy, safe weekend, 4th of July. Nice seeing you again. So, good night.
All right, everyone, that takes us to the last item, which is adjournment. We'll see you in 1 month. And as Linda said, let's be safe and make it through. Maybe we'll have our phase three by then. Let's cross our fingers, right?
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
4th of July, everybody.
Good night. Happy 4th, Michael. Good night. Good night, Kevin.